Hi, everyone. My name is Peter, and today we're getting to celebrate the coming of Christ, how Jesus came. God's coming was humble, and it was surprising. And so far, we've been doing a series on how Christmas impacts us. And this Christmas is a time where we've been seeing how his breaking into history affects us. Now, today we'll be looking at how he impacts family. This is when God became flesh, when, as Eugene Peterson says, he moves into the neighborhood. Because God isn't just an idea, he's real. And he comes in a real way. Now, for us, spending Christmas and thinking about family, we have different feelings about it. For some of us, family is amazing. And for others of us, it's filled with dread. Am I right? But Jesus came to give us something better than a biological family, which ultimately will end one day. Jesus came to give us something, a new family, a diverse family, a family that will last forever. He wants us to be a part of a family that's at peace with God, at peace with each other. And he's the hope we all need. And and in this hope, we find Christmas. It's a hope made personal through Jesus. So we're going to be looking at different passages today, and I just have three simple points. I'm hopefully going to talk less today, and we're going to read the Bible more. One thing we're doing is reading the passage in different languages, but the English will be on the screen. If you need a Bible, they're going to be in the back, or you can always just raise your hand and someone will give you a Bible right away. It's that easy. So the first passage we're looking at today is Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 24, or 25. Now this was when God entered the family. And my first point is that Jesus impacts our family by making it personal. Family's always personal, isn't it? There are specific people with specific names in your home. That's who your family is. But why is it that we think of God as, oh, just generally God out there? Yet when Jesus entered this world, he entered and made it personal in a specific way. Now, we're going to start with Mary, although the passage was talking about Joseph. We'll get to him in a minute. But Jesus' coming personally affected both of them. It's going to change their lives. For Mary, her fiancé was Joseph, and the coming of Jesus was personal. To fill in some details on Mary's side, we can read Luke chapter 1 for what happens. She is told prior to the wedding, they're betrothed. You can call them the fiancé, but it's already, the deal is done. They're legally bound to each other, but they have not had their wedding yet. They have not consummated the marriage. And by the power of God, she is told that by the power of God, she would conceive and give birth to a son, and that she would call him Jesus. She's told that in verse 32 of Luke chapter 1, that he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, if you were Mary, this would be shocking, this kind of news. And in Jewish terms, your ears are ringing of the Messiah's coming. But you're probably also very confused because this Messiah is not just another earthly king, not another man, but an eternal kingdom that's coming. God is coming as the Messiah. So, wow, I don't know how I would receive that kind of message and the following consequences of that. And this is going to become real for Mary. This is not just some idea. This is not just some belief. But where in real terms, she gets to partake of God's story to redeem his people and to gather them once again. This is God revealing his plan to history for the Savior that we all need, the one who is able to bring together all those needs and wants in a broken and incomplete world. But for her to do this, she needs to receive God's word. And so in chapter 1 of Luke, her answer is, "May your word be fulfilled." And then she receives the power of the Holy Spirit that comes over her in that moment. This is crazy. This is marvelous. And is it also a bit scandalous? It's never happened before and never will again. The coming of Christ. And this scandal will follow this family for the rest of their lives. Both Mary and Joseph, receiving this, spend the rest of their lives with a mark on their home. Oh, Mary, the one that got pregnant before they got married. But what she received in her was far more special. For Joseph, this was also personal, but in a different way. He would have to receive Jesus as his son. He'd have to receive him as a baby that needed diaper changes. He'd have to identify as, he's mine, even though he didn't come from me. That would be humbling and a little bit scary. He had to trust Mary and her integrity, and he also had to trust God in his message through that angel. Now, both would have to identify with him. But maybe for you, this is a story you've heard time and time again, but you've never sat with the fact that to claim Jesus as your Savior, you need to reconcile that he was fully God and fully man. But the thing is, that's the kind of Savior we need. We need someone powerful enough to overcome this world and the power of that sin. But we also need someone we can identify with, someone that's a relation of ours, a family relative, if you were. And that's Jesus. So Mary receives the word of God, receives the Holy Spirit. Jesus accepts this truth. As a man, he accepts it. As a religious man, he accepts it. God is breaking his categories. God's coming was personal, and it still is personal. And he still can come into each one of our lives in a personal way. Jesus later promises the Holy Spirit for everyone who receives him, and he gives them what he calls new life in God. You can ask around the room in service. I know a lot of you are guests today, but you're going to find a lot of our church family, and you can ask them this question: how is it you found Jesus to become personally real to you? At some point in our story, we found it to be true. We've personally experienced and encountered Jesus as God. For Mary and for me, for God to allow his work to be done in my life, to receive that power of the Holy Spirit working in my life, to come over me and to give me a new life and a new heart and a new soul, I need to say yes to that. And of course, I encourage you to take time to examine Jesus' claims and the Bible that we read. But to become one with Christ is to have a new heart, to be at peace with him, able to relate to him, and he relates to me personally. So now for Mary and Joseph, their lives were changed. For their entire lives, controversy would follow them, but I don't think they regretted it. They wanted Jesus more than their reputation and their conventional life. So what we see in Jesus in this first part is that he makes it personal. He shook up this family, and he can do the same for yours. So let's continue to worship. We're going to sing one more song and then read in Spanish after this.
Would you stand with me as we sing? is a king seated among us, and let every heart receive him now. Where there is praise, he will inhabit. There will be grace and mercy all around, and every burden, and every burden will be lifted in his presence. Every trophy will be laid down at his feet. There is a name that reigns above all others, Jesus Christ, the King above all kings. Unto the Lamb, honor and glory. Worthy is he who overcame, buried in shame, but risen in power. He is alive, and the stone was rolled away. And all our worship will belong to him forever. Death is conquered, and our Savior holds the key. There is a name that reigns above all others, Jesus Christ, the King above all kings.
I'm Adriana. I'm going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 18, and then I'm going to read Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12 in Spanish, and the English version will be on the screen. Lucas 2, 4. También José, que era descendiente del rey David, subió de Nazaret, ciudad de Galilea, a Judea. Fue a Belén, la ciudad de David, para inscribirse junto con María, que estaba comprometida para casarse con él. ella se encontraba embarazada, y mientras estaban allí, se le cumplió el tiempo. Así que dio a luz a su hijo primogénito. Lo envolvió en pañales y lo acostó en un pesebre porque no había lugar para ellos en la posada. En esa misma región había unos pastores que pasaban la noche en el campo, turnándose para cuidar su rebaño. Sucedió que un ángel del Señor se les apareció. La gloria del Señor los envolvió en su luz y se llenaron de temor. Pero el ángel les dijo: no tengan miedo. Miren que traigo buenas noticias que serán motivo de mucha alegría para todo el pueblo. Hoy ha nacido en la ciudad de David un Salvador que es Cristo el Señor. Esto les servirá de señal. Encontrarán a un niño envuelto en pañales y acostado en un pesebre. De repente apareció una multitud de ángeles en el cielo que alababan a Dios y decían: gloria a Dios en las alturas y en la tierra paz a los que gozan de su buena voluntad. Cuando los ángeles se fueron al cielo, los pastores se dijeron unos a otros: vamos a Belén a ver esto que ha pasado y que el Señor nos ha dado a conocer. Así que fueron deprisa y encontraron a María, a José y al niño que estaba acostado en el pesebre. Cuando vieron al niño, contaron lo que les habían dicho acerca de él, y cuantos lo oyeron se asombraron de lo que los pastores decían. Now I'm going to read Matthew chapter 2. Verse 1. Después de que Jesús nació en Belén de Judea en tiempos del rey Herodes, llegaron a Jerusalén unos sabios procedentes del oriente. ¿Dónde está el que ha nacido rey de los judíos?, preguntaron. Vimos levantarse su estrella y hemos venido a adorarlo. Cuando lo oyó, el rey Herodes se turbó y toda Jerusalén con él. Así que convocó a todos los jefes de los sacerdotes y maestros de la ley de su pueblo para preguntarles dónde había de nacer el Cristo. En Belén de Judea, le respondieron, porque esto es lo que ha escrito el profeta. Pero tú, Belén, en la tierra de Judá, de ninguna manera eres la menor entre las principales ciudades de Judá, porque de ti saldrá un príncipe que será el pastor de mi pueblo Israel. Luego Herodes llamó en secreto a los sabios y se enteró por ellos del tiempo exacto en que había aparecido la estrella. Les envió a Belén y les dijo: vayan e infórmense bien de ese niño y tan pronto como lo encuentren, avísenme para que yo también vaya y lo adore. Después de oír al rey, siguieron su camino. Sucedió que la estrella que habían visto levantarse iba delante de ellos hasta que se detuvo sobre el lugar donde estaba el niño. Al ver la estrella, sintieron muchísima alegría. Cuando llegaron a la casa, vieron al niño con María, su madre, y postrándose, lo adoraron. Abrieron sus cofres y presentaron como regalos oro, incienso y mirra. Entonces, advertidos en sueños que no volvieran a Herodes, regresaron a su tierra por otro camino.
Don's enjoying it. Thank you, Don. I know, he holds himself back all year in this Christmas time. So thank you, Don. So Luke chapter 2 and then Matthew chapter 2. And what we saw first was that the way Jesus impacts family is it's personal. He makes it personal. And now we're seeing that God's coming, it's Jesus, is who he came for. It's for far and wide. Jesus impacts family by bringing people from far and wide into his family. We see that the first people get to see the baby are who? The shepherds. So I am a new father. I have a baby boy who's now 6 months old. And thank you. his name's Noah. And when Noah was born, the due date. And by God's grace, my wife gave birth like 12 hours before the actual day. That never happens, right? But anyway, so we're at the birthing center giving birth. And her parents are driving from Waterloo to come be with us. And their plan was like to be here before the baby came so that they could help us out. We're kind of relieved that they came like right on the dot. So we had time before that to get ready. So anyway, they were driving in the car. They're on the highway. And I have the pleasure to announce that their grandson is here. And thankfully, they didn't, you know, crash the car or anything. But they could go straight to the hospital to see their new grandson. Now, when you give birth, there's only a few people that get to go to the hospital to see the baby. No offense, but I didn't invite you guys, right? And thank goodness I didn't. It's an honor. Maybe you've gotten to do it. Not all of us get that honor of seeing someone right when they come out, their first few days, first few breaths. So why does this matter about the shepherds? Well, shepherds were kind of the rough and tumble folk. They're the working class. Probably smells like sheep. Probably language ain't too good. And these are the ones God of the universe, humbly coming, chose them. And what we see is that God's family is for everyone. You know, and this isn't to make a case for myself, but I ran into someone that was asking for money as I was buying my McDonald's this morning, and I said, well, I'll buy you a meal. And so we sat down, and I invited him to church, and he said, you know, thank you, but I don't want to come because it's going to be a bunch of happy people praising Jesus. And I started to tell him about the shepherds, and I said, man, do you know who saw Jesus first? It was the shepherds. It's like the construction workers, the truck drivers. You know, I was in French class, and the window was open, and they were doing renovations on the building. And that the French teacher just kept looking out the window at what the construction workers were saying. And here I am, don't know French, and they're saying all these words. And so she thought it was actually funny and called one of them in and said, hey, can you teach us some of the words you're saying out there? So, and I won't say what they were. But that's the kind of folk he was reaching out to. I don't know these specific shepherds, but that's who he was coming for. His coming was humble, humbly for all people, even those who we might overlook what their job is or their career is. These are not the doctors and lawyers and the politicians that usually get to show up for those special events. Now later, some years later, now going to our second passage in Matthew chapter 2, we see the wise men come to see this newborn king. And it might actually be a little bit later. He could be, you know, 2 years old. But the point is that they get to come and see Jesus, and they want to give him gifts, rich gifts. They want to praise him. They want to worship him. And what's important about this? Well, yes, this is Israel's God. He was born in Israel for the Jews. But again, who are these visitors? They're from very far away. They are not Israelites. They're Gentiles, non-Israelites. The coming of Jesus was creating a new family, one that stretched far and wide, one that reached high and low. The way this king impacts our family is he's making one that is made up of all kinds of people. And that can be hard for us at church sometimes. People are very different than us. Yet that was God's pleasure to bring us together. He's for everyone, but they still need to personally come to him. Let's continue in worship and come to him. Let's go ahead and stand and sing our next song. In lonely exile here,
until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou rod of Jesse free, thine own from Satan's tyranny. From depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here, and drive away the shadows of night, and pierce the clouds and bring us light. Rejoice, rejoice, shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations mind, all peoples in one heart and mind, bid thou a sad division cease, and be thyself a king of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Shall come to thee, O Israel.
Good morning. Morning. My name is Christelle, and I'll be reading from two passages this morning. Okay. My name is Christelle, and I'll be reading from two passages this morning. One from the book of Mark, chapter 3, and the other one from the book of Revelation, chapter 7. So I'll be reading in French, and the English translation will be on the screen. And we read in Bafoussam, which is my dialect, spoken in the west province of Cameroon in Central Africa. So, Mark chapter 3, from verse 31 to 35. Survint sa mère et ses frères qui, se tenant dehors, l'envoyèrent appeler. La foule était assise autour de lui, et on lui dit, « Voici, ta mère et tes frères sont dehors et te demandent. » Et il répondit, « Qui est ma mère et qui sont mes frères ?» Puis, jetant les regards sur ceux qui étaient assis tout autour de lui, « Voici, dit-il, ma mère et mes frères. Car quiconque fait la volonté de Dieu, celui-là est mon frère, ma sœur et ma mère. » Now we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, from verse 9 to verse 12. Alles in het tate, mijn wonpo, de benilissen, buffen nun gum gamma wong, nun gum dupfa wong, nun gum gang a wong dumpsa. Wabble te, bokufu, pumun jinji. Bokwe, nzofufu. Kwa kwa bangete pupu wapne bonte che ngamga porte si wawe ndem kufa bamwe njinji ngwang messenger si le chongte mbon kufu pwa mzunzwa po ngan namkwa wapne nongti ndem seyap mesi kesiewa. Wobble gamga, amen. Ngung wonku. Quap tetin dock, zunwa. Ne wongi, ndong. Power pongu, twambu si wokpa. Nungwom tamawong. Amen.
Thank you, Christelle. That's beautiful. So we saw that the way Jesus impacts other family is he makes it personal. And his family, he draws from far and wide, high and low. And the last way that we're going to talk about how he impacts our family is that he makes it forever. Forever family. So this is why he came. Joining God's family is through Jesus Christ, by faith. And it's forever. So we'll look at by faith first and then forever. But you know, these two passages aren't normally read for a Christmas service, are they? But both talk about how he impacts family. And Jesus had a different idea of family than we do, or rather, our ideas of family find their fulfillment in his family. So what is true family? I mean, family has belonging. They're the people that have your back, right? The ones you spend time with. There's loyalty. These are the people that stick, that you have history with, and through it all, that they just are your family. And we all want that. We all want that. We're all made for it. We want that kind of loyalty and belonging and acceptance. But what's the problem? Well, they're this family. The problem is our earthly families are broken, are they not? They fail one way or another. Our family doesn't always hold up to what we believe it should. Am I right? And what I mean by this is that when I talk about faithfulness, we all want family that is faithful to us. And for some of us, we do have that. And that's something to be thankful for and to celebrate this season. But others of us, there's betrayal. There's disappointment. There's fragmentation in our family. And the Christmas season can kind of intensify that pain and loneliness and the lack thereof. There's distance and there's silence. And for all of us, if we live long enough, we will feel the sting of loss. Families don't always last forever. Family members will die, get cancer, grow old, and they'll leave us. And when we experience that death, something in us is surprised by the fact that there's this finality to it, that all of a sudden we wake up to the place that this earth isn't going to last forever. But I would argue that our surprise is that reality of death and how it actually points us to eternity. We think that we should last forever. We think that family should stick around. And we're always surprised when that death comes. Death is one of those moments that seems wrong. Because it's true. We were not made for death. We were made for life. And that's the Christian message. And that's why Jesus came, to take on that death for us, that we couldn't do ourselves, so that we could find new life, eternal life, in him, in the family that we should belong to. And that's good news. But again, We're not embracing this fluffy family message of values. We're preaching Jesus, who is so different than us, so he can save us and invites us into that family. So Mark chapter 3, verse 31, then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived standing outside. They sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are looking for you outside." He responds, "Who are my mother and brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my brothers, mothers and brothers." So Jesus was redrawing the circle into a faith family. Now, earlier in verse 21, when his family arrives, they hear about this crowd gathering around Jesus, and they went to take charge of him. They say, "He's crazy. He's out of his mind." And you know, it was hard for Jesus' own family to come to terms with who he was. And here we see that disappointment family can be, ashamed of him, but trying their best, doing what they think is right. But Jesus uses this as a teaching moment to teach us about family. He teaches this crowd about who his true family is going to be. It's going to be the people that come to him through faith. We've seen that already today. It's going to be the ones that see him and believe. He's the one who has the answers, and I need to follow him. It's not going to be a free ticket if you were born in a certain family, certain country, certain last name or ethnicity. That's not how you come to Jesus. No, it's going to be by faith. Whoever you are, to enter Jesus' family, it's going to be by coming to him and sitting at his feet and calling him Lord. It's a family of individual choice, which was countercultural to the way they thought about family back then. Now we think it's just normal, and we struggle with those problems of individualism, but come back another day. We'll talk about that. But faith is not an ethnicity. It's not a country. It's not Western or Eastern. But rather, God says, as far as the West is from the East, I will come and gather my family. It's Jesus and his life, death, and resurrection that he shows he's faithful to us. He's coming after us. He wants us. We want faithfulness. We want belonging. But we find when we join his family is that his whole life was to show us how much he loved us, how faithful he was to us, and how much he is today. That's how we find out, is through faith. He enables us to belong. That's the life he gives when we come to him and we ask for it. Now in Revelation, what Christelle read in Bafwasam was part of the forever family. And the good news about this family is that it's diverse. It's got all peoples in it, and it's forever. Revelation, it says, "And there before me stood a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the Lamb." It's going to be a ton of people. It's going to be those who come to Christ. Jesus came to save us from that darkness, from that lostness, from all far, wide, high, and low. He came offering himself as the way. You know, when I think about what does a forever home mean, I've shared this story once before, but please, pardon me for repeating it, was I used to have a habit of checking my phone. I'm sure many of us do. We all have little hobbies. One of mine was I dream of having a black Labrador retriever. I can't right now. I live in an apartment, and I just won't have a dog. But one day, I want to have a dog. And so I check my phone, and I go on Kijiji. There's always dogs up for adoption on Kijiji, if you ever need to see puppies or anything. It's a good time. But I was interested of the language that they were using. People were putting their dogs up for adoption, saying, dog up for adoption, but they don't like using that that word, so they say, looking for a forever home. Dog looking for a forever home. Now, what does that language tell us? Here's a family that owns a dog, but that dog can't stay there any longer. That home's not forever, it's temporary. And maybe they do care about it, some don't. That doesn't matter, but the point is this dog has to go somewhere, but they want it to go somewhere where this will never happen again. Do you ever feel like that? What Jesus did and why he came was he brought the riches of heaven. He's coming fully God, fully human, identifying with us, with the power and the credibility, everything. Because he's looking for you. He's looking for each one of us. He's saying, I'm coming down to earth and entering history and making a way so I can buy you back. I want to give you a forever home, a forever family. You will never need to worry about me. I will always be there for you. I was always faithful to you. And I made a way that you can live forever with me, with my other kids. You're going to love them. Some of them speak Bafwasam. That's who Christ is. Christ changes our families when we let him in. He makes it personal. He's for everyone, far and wide, and it's forever. And we get to be part of that family if you take him up on that invitation.